Hello, and welcome to the Gospel Bell in the Dells, a weekly podcast sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in every age and place. My name is Pastor Joseph Dogan, pastor of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wisconsin Dells. Come and hear the good news that is indeed for you.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. John said to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." The Gospel of the Lord. I have always been pretty open about the fact that I'm from a pretty religiously and spiritually mixed family. In my immediate family, I am the only one who identifies as Christian and goes to church on a fairly regular basis. And upon hearing this for the first time, most are surprised that I ended up being a pastor despite this. And it sparked some really great conversations about faith, about spirituality, and about call. But every once in a while, I get some just really off-the-wall questions or remarks concerning my family. One such question came on a weekend while sitting with fellow camp staff one summer. After sharing a bit about my family and about my story, this young man looked at me and he asked me confidently, "How, Joseph, do you feel about the fact that you are going to heaven while the rest of your family burns in hell?" I was aghast. I don't remember exactly what I said or how I responded, but I do remember the absolute anger, disgust, and confusion that I felt in that moment. It had never occurred to me before then that my family could be heading for eternal damnation. They are good, decent people, and surely that has to count for something, right? My mom likes knitting and making things for people whenever she can. My dad would always be one of the first ones to step up and help an elderly neighbor. And my sister is passionate about fair and equal rights for all people. They may not understand all of the intricacies that go into the Christian religion, but I mean, who does, right? They don't speak bad about me being a pastor, nor do they speak poorly of God or the message of Jesus Christ, but they don't follow the Christian church either. And this text gives me hope, for it says, "Whoever is not against us is for us." There are so many people out there in the world that are doing the work of God in ways that amaze, heal, and change lives, but they are not connected to any kind of formal religion. Food pantries, homeless shelters, educators, blood banks, the examples are virtually endless of those who do the work of God. And they might even believe in the message of Jesus Christ, yet do not ascribe to any formal religion. Or cannot, for whatever reason, bring themselves to be in a church building. And whoever is not against us, they are for us. For some, they have to work on a Sunday morning to provide for their family so they cannot come to church, causing a lack of religious education. Some cannot be a part of the church anymore because of a deep pain that they have felt by those who are part of an establishment that have told them they are unworthy because of who they love or because they have experienced abuse by those who were supposed to care for them. There are also those who were not raised in the church, and they're interested in joining, but they are so afraid to even take the first step because of the hate and the judgment by those who call themselves Christian, when all judgment was meant to be left with God in the first place. Whatever reason, and people don't owe you their reasons for not being a part of an institution that has caused so much pain, but you do owe them grace, love, and mercy that you can muster all of it from God. Now, being a fairly young pastor, I have a lot of people that ask me where all of the children have gone and how we can get our young families back into our pews, which I've always found funny because, one, I wasn't raised in the church, so I have no idea what it looked like 20 years ago. And two, I'm a bit of an oddity. I think most of you have learned that by now. In that I fell in love with the church, so much so that I wanted to become a pastor. So how am I supposed to know what anybody else is thinking, right? But I did hear some words from one who was raised in the church, but has left the church while still retaining his faith. It's a YouTube star named Rhett McLaughlin, who's part of the duo that makes up Good Mythical Morning. My wife is a huge fan of them, has been watching them since they started doing their goofy stuff on the internet. And in recent years, he's been very public about his decision to leave the church. And when accused of being the reason why young people are leaving the church, after sharing his own story, he says this in response. He says, "I have an alternative theory about why so many young people are leaving the church. Because they're leaving the church like never before. I say this out of love and respect because I do believe there is hope for the church. Your kids are not leaving the church because you did not train them enough. Your kids are leaving the church because you trained them well enough to develop a sense for truth and justice. You let them read the words of Jesus and they got it. And they see the church doesn't seem to be interested in those words. They're not leaving because they don't know the truth. They're leaving because they do." At its worst, the church turns into an exclusionary social club that uses the words of Jesus Christ to spread hate, bastardizing the mission of God throughout the world and giving Christians the image that we have today. But at its best, the church is a cohesive body of the faithful that not only believes in the message of Jesus Christ, but lives it out in a way that enacts God's love and justice in the world. And while the church has done some incredible harm to folks and in places is downright hostile to some, there is hope. There is hope found in those who refuse to leave the church they love because they still see it as a tool that God uses to spread a gospel so compelling that it changes lives. There is hope found in those who hold on to our traditions that help the next generation feel the grace of God in the presence of the faithful. And there is hope, dearest siblings, for this church that is found among all of you, in the ways that you continue to do the incredibly hard work of defining who you are in this ever-changing world as you renegotiate your relationship with God and with one another. There is hope in how I've seen you all band together in time of struggle and lift one another up in times of grief. There is hope. And hope is a powerful thing. It is in hope that we are led towards faith in the message of Jesus Christ that tells us that God is not done with us yet and tells us that reconciliation and healing is possible in and through the resurrection promise. There is hope that the peace that Jesus is calling us into will come to pass because, oh God, it must come to pass. Beloved siblings in Christ, you all, as members of the body of Christ and integral members of the church, have an opportunity to help change the narrative of the church and steer it once again towards the truth, love, mercy, grace, and hope of Jesus Christ in this world. That is for all people through the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. That says nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Even when we feel as though we are surrounded by death and stuck on Good Friday, we are reminded that Easter Sunday is coming. It is always coming. It's already here. Jesus Christ is already here and is now guiding this church through the Holy Spirit with the abiding love of God in never-ending hope. Thank you again for listening to our weekly podcast, The Gospel Bell in the Dells. To find out more about this ministry or learn ways to support us, please go and follow us on Facebook at Bethany Lutheran Church or at our website at dellsbethanylutheran.org.